Good morning. My name is Valerie, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the earnings call for Sequel Communications' first quarter 2011 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. I would now like to turn the call over to Pete Abel, Senior Vice President of Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Good morning. Welcome to this discussion of the first quarter 2011 results for Sequel Communications Holdings One LLC and its subsidiaries, which do business as Suddenlink Communications. Before we get started this morning, we would like to remind you that certain statements made during this conference call might be considered forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Act of 1995. Those statements are subject to the various risks and uncertainties described in our annual and quarterly reports, which are posted to our website. These risks and uncertainties could cause actual future results to differ materially from the results expressed or implied by any forward-looking statements made on this call. The information discussed today will be based on our quarterly earnings release for the period ended March 31, 2011. Both our earnings release and quarterly report have been posted to the Investor Relations section of our website at suddenlink.com. The release compares actual and pro forma financial and operating results for the first quarters of 2011 and 2010. Today, our presenters will focus their comments on year-over-year pro forma results for the first quarter. With that, I'll now turn the call over to our CEO, Jerry Kent. Jerry?
Thanks, Pete. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. We're pleased to report first quarter 2011 results that demonstrate how we are executing on our goals of solidifying customer relationships, increasing market share through bundled services, enhancing the customer experience through our Project Imagine investments, and delivering a consistently strong financial and operating performance. We remain in outstanding financial condition and believe that our customer-centric strategy was instrumental to delivering our 18th consecutive quarter of pro forma revenue growth. Our results continue to be among the very best in the industry. Revenue in the first quarter totaled $446.2 million, an 8.2% increase over the same quarter last year. First quarter adjusted EBITDA was approximately $160.1 million, an 8.4% increase over the year-ago period. Before NPG acquisition costs and excluding one-time bonus payments to option holders related to our January dividend to investors, EBITDA increased 11.1% over the year-ago period. Revenue-generating units, or RGUs, now total more than 3.13 million, an increase of more than 80,000 during the first quarter, and more than 217,000 in the trailing 12 months, representing a 7.4% annual growth rate. The first quarter of 2011 was our second-best quarter ever in terms of RGU growth, trailing only the first quarter of last year. ARPU, or average revenue per unit, was $122.51, which is 10.9% higher than ARPU in the first quarter of 2010. Overall, the first quarter of 2011 showcased the strength and potential of this organization. Our strong financial position provided us with the flexibility to grow market share and to pursue opportunistic acquisitions like NPG, which we closed April 1st. As we've discussed on prior calls, there are multiple benefits to this acquisition. First, we believe the former NPG properties are a solid strategic fit with our existing operations. There are clustering opportunities, and we expect to realize synergies and economies of scale. Our acquisition and transition efforts have gone very smoothly, and we believe there is tremendous upside potential for these systems under our management. At March 31st, we had approximately $482.1 million in cash and cash equivalents on hand, with no current plans to draw on our $200 million revolver. As noted, we funded the NPG acquisition on April 1st, leaving us with pro forma cash of $132.1 million and very solid liquidity. Free cash flow was negative $17 million in the first quarter, due primarily to the timing of Project Imagine and success-based capital spending, and increased interest expense from our January bond offering without the benefit of owning the NPG systems until April 1st. Our expectations for positive free cash flow in 2011 have not changed. Our history of generating strong EBITDA growth and deleveraging have enabled us to successfully access the debt markets for more than $1.8 billion in the past 15 months. We've used the proceeds to extend maturities, fund the NPG acquisition, and distribute certain payments to our equity stakeholders. Importantly, throughout this activity, we have maintained or improved all of our credit ratings. Our total leverage was 5.99 times EBITDA at March 31st. This leverage is temporarily inflated as it does not include EBITDA from the NPG acquisition, which again did not close until April 1st. Net of all cash, our leverage at March 31st was 5.27 times EBITDA. Our track record of solid operating performance and our roadmap for growth give us confidence that we'll be able to steadily reduce the leverage in the months to come. Moreover, as mentioned previously, we have no plans this year for additional distributions to investors. We're making excellent use of our capital resources and expect significant return on the infrastructure upgrades we're making through Project Imagine. These investments are helping us grow market share by extending our industry-leading broadband internet speeds to a larger addressable audience and further deploying advanced services such as high-definition TV and video on demand. When Project Imagine is completed next year, high-definition or HD service should be available to substantially all customers with an average of 90 high-definition channels on our lineup and the capacity in most areas for up to 200 HD channels. Furthermore, video on demand and DOCSIS 3.0 broadband technology will be available to over 90% of our customers. Project Imagine and success-based capital accounted for approximately $50.6 million of our $105.2 million in capital expenditures during the first quarter. From late 2009 through March 31st this year, we had invested 62% of the approximately $350 million we've committed for Project Imagine and success-based capital. By the end of this year, we will be more than 80% complete. As we near the completion of this initiative, the combination of declining CapEx spend and increased revenue should result in further expansion of margins and growth in free cash flow. Tom will provide more details momentarily about where we stand with Project Imagine today. We continue to market compelling bundled offerings, including double and triple play bundles, which lead to longer customer relationships and make our customers less vulnerable to competitive offers and churn. In total, we added nearly 24,000 bundled customers in the first quarter, of which nearly 14,000 were triple play customers. At March 31st, a full 60% of our customers took two or more services from us. Furthermore, we expanded market share, adding more than 17,000 customer relationships in the first quarter alone. As we've done consistently over the last several years, we gained high-speed internet and telephone customers in the first quarter at a much faster rate than our lower-margin video services. As a result, we're becoming less video-centric and are now generating a majority of our gross margin from non-video services. Consider that in 2007, our total dollars of gross margin from video services was 61%, while telephone and internet services accounted for 39%. By the end of the first quarter of 2011, our internet and phone services accounted for 54% of total dollar gross margin. And at current growth rates, our total dollar gross margin just from internet services will exceed video gross margin in 2012. And we believe this trend will continue as customers show a preference for internet and bundled services, providing us with significant upside in terms of future cash flow growth. Innovation is critical in today's rapidly changing environment. For that reason, we'll continue developing services such as wireless home networking, home security, and Suddenlink TiVo co-branded devices. We believe these and other innovations will contribute to our future growth while enhancing the value of our brand and service among existing customers. We're also looking to stay ahead of the curve as consumer interest in online video increases. To that end, we're prioritizing development initiatives that will give customers the ability to access video remotely and help ensure that we are engaged with those customers across multiple platforms. In fact, we recently announced the launch of HBO's new authenticated online video video destinations, HBO Go and Max Go. Suddenly, customers who subscribe to HBO and our Cinemax will now have free, unlimited access to the corresponding online video services at any time on any computer, iPhone, or iPad in the U.S. with a high-speed internet connection. We're actively adding more online video content to our customer portal and expect to be in position to launch a greatly enhanced offering this summer. Such initiatives should help us maintain and improve customer satisfaction, and with the enhanced network infrastructure we're developing through Project Imagine, we're well positioned to capitalize on these points of competitive differentiation. Our commercial organization also maintained its momentum in the first quarter, gaining share in both internet and phone services. In our communities, we estimate the small and medium-sized business segment is an $870 million market that is underserved, and we believe our business-class internet and phone services give us an excellent opportunity to capture a growing share of this market. Meanwhile, our carrier business saw ongoing demand from wireless carriers that need higher bandwidth connectivity between cell towers and central offices. Tom will provide additional perspective on this segment of our business in his remarks today, but I'll note that our customer growth in carrier and commercial services are the best in our history. Our team is understandably proud of our first quarter results. We believe we are in excellent position to build on our momentum, and we expect to drive further growth in RGUs, commercial services, revenues, and EBITDA in 2011. I'll now turn the floor over to Tom McMillan, our Chief Operating Officer, to provide additional perspective on Project Imagine and our operating results for the first quarter. Tom.
Thanks, Jerry. I'd now like to expand on some of the operating results that Jerry touched on, looking specifically at performance in the first quarter. In doing so, I'll use the pro forma comparisons included in the earnings release. On that basis, as Jerry noted, we added more than 80,000 revenue-generating units in the first quarter. That represents our second-best quarterly RGU performance ever and put us at over 3.1 million total RGUs as of March 31. On basic video, we ended the first quarter with approximately 1.22 million customers, an increase of 1,300 during the quarter. Basic penetration of estimated homes passed at March 31 was 45.4%. On digital video, we ended the quarter with nearly 680,000 customers, up 28,200 units in the quarter, and more than 102,000 units, or 17.7% growth, in the trailing 12 months. Digital penetration of basic video customers at the end of the quarter was 55.8%, up from 46.2% a year ago. Along with our growth in digital video, we added nearly 15,000 DVR customers during the first quarter of 2011 and nearly 53,000 over the last 12 months, an annual growth rate of 18.8%. DVR penetration of digital customers grew to 49%. Looking at our success in HD, we added more than 89,000 HD customers over the last 12 months, representing 32.4% annual growth and bringing HD penetration of digital customers to 53.7%, up from 47.7% a year ago. Our sell-in rate of HD to new digital customers has improved 36% since the first quarter of last year. Total penetration of advanced digital services, both DVR and HD customers, stood at 57% of digital customers at the end of the first quarter 2011. That's up from 52.1% at the end of the first quarter 2010. On high-speed internet, we finished the quarter with more than 857,000 residential customers, up nearly 31,000 units during the quarter, and more than 71,000 units, or 9.1%, since March of 2010. As a result, residential data penetration of 32.9% of estimated data homes passed, up from 30.4% a year ago. As those penetration figures suggest, despite our success, we still serve just 1 in 3 homes passed and have a meaningful opportunity to grow market share with our market-leading internet services. As mentioned on previous calls, a complement to our high-speed internet service is Suddenlink Wi-Fi at Home service, which nearly 1 in 3 of our new high-speed internet customers purchased during the first quarter. On telephony, we finished the quarter with 378,600 residential customers, up nearly 20,000 units during the quarter and 76,000 units, or 25.1%, since the year-ago period. As a result, residential telephony penetration at March 31 was 17.4%, meaning we serve slightly more than 1 in 6 of the estimated homes we pass with our telephone service. Last year, we grew residential customer relationships for the first time since we started tracking this market share metric, and we continued that trend in the first quarter this year. We are now up more than 7,400 customer relationships since the year-ago period, with a significant number of new customer relationships being non-video, higher-margin customers. During the quarter, we also added more than 900 commercial internet customers and nearly 1,800 commercial phone customers. These gains were our highest in the last 7 quarters. Our 12,800 commercial phone customers at March 31 represented a 93.9% increase over our first quarter 2010 total. We are proud of our market share gains in the small to medium business sector and are optimistic that we will continue to gain share. We've also continued to see growth in our business of providing fiber to the tower for cellular carriers. As noted during our last call, this segment offers a great market opportunity with up to 3,000 addressable towers in our footprint. Today, we have 200 tenants in our billing system and hundreds more that have committed to purchase services or are in the process of being installed. Many of the initial anchor tenants that we have sold are co-located with other tenants on the same tower. We estimate that there are between 1.5 and 2 tenants per tower for the towers that we have in billing and backlog today. Once the first tenant is sold, we have the opportunity to aggressively pursue other tenants to leverage our fiber build-out to each tower. Finally, today I want to comment briefly on our progress in the first quarter on Project Imagine. We continue to be very excited about this 3-year initiative, with which we are now more than halfway completed. When all phases are completed in 2012, this plan will help reshape our company for the future and further improve customer experience with Suddenlink. In the current phase, we are distributing digital adapters to customers so that we can transition to all digital lineups, reclaim bandwidth, and add even more services, including more HD channels and video on-demand content. Through March 31, we have installed over 840,000 digital adapters in more than 40 cable systems. Furthermore, we had achieved the following Project Imagine milestones at March 31. DOCSIS 3.0 technology was deployed to cable systems serving 76% of customers. And so far this year, we have launched our 50 meg service in 5 additional markets. Video on demand service was available to more than 78% of basic video customers. On demand content now includes more than 6,000 titles, including more than 800 HD titles. Access to high definition services was at 92%, and our weighted average number of HD channels stood at 63, with several markets providing 80 to 90 HD channels. Our current lineup of HD services has increased dramatically from the 24 HD channels we offered on average before the start of Project Imagine. Beyond Project Imagine, we have continued to expand the availability of Suddenlink TiVo Premier DVR service in our West Texas markets, and we are currently finalizing plans to expand that service to other operating regions in the second and third quarters. As a reminder, this partnership combines our video service with TiVo's best-in-class user interface to offer access to thousands of hours of entertainment choices, including content from Suddenlink's video on-demand library and the web, all accessible through TiVo's advanced search and discovery features. Other features available today include the ability to schedule recordings from locations outside the home through a web-connected computer, BlackBerry, or a smartphone device. Also, we're working with TiVo to develop a customized Suddenlink iPad interface, which we expect to introduce this summer. Thank you for your time. I'd now like to turn things over to our CFO, Mary Medusky, for a closer look at our financial results during the quarter. Mary?
Thanks, Tom. Today I will discuss the financial results for Sequel Communications Holdings I, LLC, and subsidiaries for the first quarter of 2011, adding to what Jerry and Tom have already provided. I'll also discuss our balance sheet and liquidity position. I'll focus my comments on pro forma first quarter year-over-year results, drawing on our quarterly report and earnings release. Our quarterly report is available on our website. For the bank lenders listening to this call, our first lien lender package, which covers Sequel Communications LLC and subsidiaries, has been posted to Intralinks, including a copy of our compliance certificate. As expected, we were in compliance with all of our bank covenants at March 31st, 2011, all with significant cushions. The pro forma information we discussed today includes the cable system we acquired in August 2010 and excludes the two small non-strategic cable systems we disposed of in November 2010, as if those transactions had been consummated on January 1, 2010. None of these results account for MPG, which did not close until April 1st. At March 31st, our total debt outstanding was approximately $3.796 billion, comprised of $1.825 billion of 8.625% senior notes at Sequel Communications Holdings I, $1.957 billion of first lien term loans at Sequel Communications LLC, and $14.2 million of capital leases and other obligations at Sequel Communications LLC. We have a $200 million undrawn revolver, fully available except for $12.6 million of outstanding letters of credit. At March 31st, we had approximately $482.1 million of cash on hand. As Jerry noted, we funded the MPG acquisition on April 1st, leaving us with pro forma cash of $132.1 million. At March 31st, we had interest rate hedges in place covering $1.925 billion, or substantially all of our funded bank debt, and the weighted average duration of our swap portfolio was reduced to approximately 11 months. Of note, $175 million of notional swaps rolled off in April, with the remaining swaps rolling off in April of this year and April and October of next year. Our weighted average cost of funded debt, including the senior notes, was approximately 7.91% at March 31st. Now for a few comments on our first quarter financial results, pro forma for acquisitions and divestitures. As Jerry mentioned, total revenue for the first quarter 2011 was $446.2 million, representing growth of 8.2% or $33.7 million over the first quarter 2010. ARPU, or average revenue per unit, was $122.51, an increase of 10.9% over the first quarter 2010. Our increase in revenue was largely attributable to growth in the number of customers, video and high-speed internet rate increases, and incremental revenue from video on demand, high-definition television, and digital video recorders. Offsetting this growth in part was a decrease due to the impact of bundling and promotional discounts. Year over year, video revenue increased 2.4%, primarily due to basic video rate increases, increased premium service and VOD revenues, and customer growth in our digital and advanced video services. These gains were offset in part by a lower number of basic video customers and digital customers purchasing fewer digital tiers of service on average. Video ARPU was $59.70, up 5% from the first quarter of 2010. High-speed internet revenues increased 12.6% due to an increase in residential high-speed internet customers, the impact of rate increases, and growth in our commercial high-speed internet services to small and medium-sized businesses. Residential high-speed internet ARPU was $33.65, up 2.9% from the first quarter of 2010. Telephone revenue increased 23.2%, primarily due to an increase in residential telephone customers and, again, growth in our commercial telephone services to small and medium-sized businesses. Residential telephone ARPU was $27.83, down 7.2% from the first quarter of 2010 due to promotional and bundle discounts. Advertising revenues increased 1.3%, largely due to higher local and national automotive ad sale revenue, offset in part by lower political and ad sales revenue. Excluding the impact of political, our advertising revenue would have grown 12.5% versus the first quarter of 2010. Other revenues increased 16.3% due to, among other things, the increased rental of high-definition and DVR-capable converters, increased home networking services, increased administrative fees associated with the underlying growth of the business, higher franchise fees consistent with video revenue increases, and higher broadcast retransmission fee pass-throughs. Our commercial lines of business, embedded in the consolidated results described above and in the press release, are comprised of commercial and bulk video, commercial high-speed internet, on- and off-net carrier sales, and commercial telephone. Our commercial business saw strong growth in the first quarter. Commercial revenue totaled $49.1 million, or 11% of total revenue, in the first quarter of 2011, representing growth of 13.5% versus the first quarter of 2010. Furthermore, our commercial data and telephone business grew nearly 26% year-over-year on a combined basis. Operating costs and expenses rose 8%, primarily due to higher programming costs and retransmission consent expenses, increased net compensation and employee-related costs, including contract labor, higher fuel expenses, increased marketing expense, higher bad debt expense, $3 million of compensation expense related to our January 2011 equity distribution, and $900,000 of NPG-related acquisition expenses. Offsetting the increase, in part, was a decrease in non-cash equity compensation and property tax expense. Adjusted EBITDA for the first quarter 2011 was $160.1 million, an increase of 8.4% from the same quarter last year, resulting in an adjusted EBITDA margin increase to 35.9%. Excluding expenses associated with the dividend-related compensation and the NPG acquisition, our adjusted EBITDA margin would have increased further to 36.8%, and our adjusted EBITDA growth rate, as Jerry mentioned, would have been 11.1%. Income from operations for the first quarter 2011 was $62.9 million, a decrease of 1.4% due to increased depreciation and amortization expense. Net loss was $17 million for the first quarter 2011 compared to a net loss of $1.6 million for the first quarter 2010 as increased interest expense and depreciation and amortization expense more than offset our increased EBITDA. First quarter 2011 capital expenditures were approximately $105.2 million. That figure includes Project Imagine and success-based capital of approximately $50.6 million. As indicated on our last call, we expect capital expenditures for all of 2011 to be between $330 and $340 million. That range includes Project Imagine and success-based capital, but does not include capital expenditures related to the properties acquired from NPG. In the coming weeks, we will provide the 2009 and 2010 NPG audits, our 2010 and first quarter 2011 pro forma adjustments, and 2011 CapEx guidance for NPG. As Jerry mentioned, free cash flow in the first quarter was negative $17 million due to the timing of capital expenditures and increased interest expense from our January offering. However, we do expect to be free cash flow positive for the full year 2011. Now I'll conclude my remarks and turn the call back over to the operator to facilitate questions. I would like to remind everyone that this is a public call and we will generally refrain from discussing information other than what is disclosed in our earnings release and report.
If you would like to ask a question at this time, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. We have a question from Jason Kim with Goldman Sachs.
Great, thank you. Your subscriber metrics were really strong in the quarter and certainly better than what we had been expecting. I was wondering if there were any changes to your marketing message or price points on your products during the quarter, and if you see any changes from your competitors in their promotions.
Hey, Jason, it's Tom. Thanks for the question. We're pleased to report that we were able to have the unit performance while maintaining good yield. We actually implemented some rate adjustments both on the video side as well as the internet side in the November through January, February timeframe. And we did that both to a la carte customers as well as then we naturally step up package customers typically on their anniversary dates, many of which are around the end of the year. So with 10.9% ARPU growth as well as the strong unit performance, we're happy in the way we balance that and feel fortunate and confident in those results. From a competitive standpoint, I would say that it is pretty much more the same. We are seeing a little bit more from Frontier in West Virginia. They seem to be paying a little bit more attention than maybe Verizon had been historically. West Virginia is Frontier's largest market of operations. They are still going through a lot of transitional challenges, but that being said, they seem to be getting more aggressive, at least from a marketing standpoint. And CenturyLink and AT&T continue to be, formidable competitors across different products, as do DirecTV and Dish, but nothing particular to speak of.
Okay, and then maybe a question for Jerry.
Yes?
Press, and I know I've answered this question in the past, but just given that it seems like there's a lot, even more cable systems in the marketplace right now, just wanted to get your updated thoughts on your M&A strategy and how you manage your balances around that.
Let me just first follow up on your first question with one other item. There was a particular marketing tactic that we used that we found very successful, and that was one of your questions about our marketing. And that is we did 5 for 25, which is basically $25 phone guaranteed price for 5 years. And that was very successful. And in fact, when people would call in with some lower priced bundled phone from former specials, they would actually go up to the higher price at $25 because we locked them in for 5 years. So we saw very good success, and in fact are continuing with that marketing tactic. With respect to the question about M&A landscape, I hope I sound like a broken record from what I said last time, and so it hasn't changed. We will continue to look at acquisitions that make strategic sense to us. However, we're very cognizant of where our bond ratings are. We've actually had some upgrades in some of our ratings over the past year, despite all the financings. And if we do a large acquisition, and that's a big if, we would look to bring equity in. And we're not in a position today where we feel like we want to lever up the company significantly just to do a strategic acquisition. So I don't think you would see us do anything along those lines. So we will continue to look, but we'll be very, very careful in how we approach acquisitions, make sure it's a good strategic fit, and continue to maintain a strong balance sheet.
Great. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Mike Pace with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, thank you. Maybe one for Mary. It looks like you had a pretty big working capital benefit in the quarter. Can you just discuss that a little bit and when and if we might see that reverse itself?
The working capital... We did see a benefit in the working capital in the first quarter, and it is in the process of reversing itself. It's really just timing driven. In general, we're a working capital neutral company.
Okay, then maybe for Tom, just a follow-up from the strong unit additions. It sounds like the gross activity was pretty strong. Can you also talk about any benefits you're seeing on churn or not, I guess?
Sure. We, if you recall, Mike, we had just a great year from churn reduction in 2010, and I would say that has, you know, generally continued in the first quarter of this year. We continue to have a lot of focus around our retention efforts, particularly in our care centers. We have retention teams in those centers, and we also do proactive campaigns. Targeting people that have a propensity to churn, to either right-size them or get them into to better package bundles. So churn is in the first quarter has been fairly consistent for us. And you're right, we did see an uptick in gross adds, but we also did a pretty good job of keeping the people that we have.
Thanks. And then actually, sorry to go back to Mary, as it relates to the credit facility and the maturity profile there, any thoughts on the timing of extending that, and maybe at what point does that timing cushion start to make you move a little faster? Thank you.
Yeah, Mike, we have 2.5 years roughly remaining on our term loan. We recognize that the bank market is very robust right now, and we are evaluating all options. We don't feel the pressure of time, but we observe that the bank market is strong. So we're considering all of those factors as we decide on the precise timing.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. You have a question from Adam Spielman with PPM America.
Thank you. Could you just talk a little bit about your non-video customers? If I'm looking at this right, if I take your customer relationships and deduct the basic video, I can get your non-video guys. It looked like that grew pretty strongly. So maybe you can talk about who's taking that package. Is it mainly just high-speed data, or are you bundling it? And I don't know, any other thoughts around that?
Sure, Adam. It's Tom. Thanks for the question. You're right. It's coming from both internet-only customers as well as more and more internet phone double play customers. So as we have said on previous calls, we're going after customer relationships. We're going after the nearly 1.4 million homes that we pass that we have no relationship with. And while we would love to sell everybody a triple play, it doesn't always work out that way. So we're going after, in particular, satellite customers who maybe want to keep their satellite video service, but could use our industry-leading internet and competitive phone service. So that's where it's coming from, really, those two categories.
I might add that it's not phone only. We discourage phone only. When I mentioned the 25 for 5, that's if you take another service from us. What we have found in the past, phone-only customers are very high churn, and so we discourage phone-only. So it's either internet-only or a double-play bundle.
Great. And then just, your numbers were solid, and it looks like even just across the industry, on the video side, numbers were pretty good, even compared to last year's, the seasonally strong first quarter. Can you just talk about, do you think there's some benefit of housing coming back? Is there anything that you can attribute it to?
What was the question?
We have not, just from a pure new build standpoint, we to this point have not seen an uptick in new build, new construction. It doesn't mean, Adam, that there aren't more people occupying homes, but specifically, we haven't had anyone in the field necessarily indicate that to us, that they're seeing that phenomenon occur.
We've invested a lot of money in upgrading our video product by adding a lot of HD channels, putting TiVo in the field,
Video on demand
to more customers, more DVR, HD boxes. And so I really think we're starting to see a payoff from those investments. But we have not seen an uptick in housing construction.
All right, and just final one, just on the preferred that you redeemed, just so I understand, there's still a chunk of that outstanding, and it's just accruing at whatever, 12%, whatever that rate is?
Right. The preferred that was redeemed was the original invested amount, which was $124.7 million. The accrued portion remains on our balance sheet and stands at approximately $93 million.
Great. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from David Sherritt with Barclays.
Hi, good morning. Two questions. First, on the competitive front, you mentioned Frontier and them being more active with promotions. They commented on their call this morning that they had a weak January, but that things really picked up for them in February, and particularly March and in April, being very strong for them in terms of reaction to their promotions. Just wondering if you can give any commentary from your standpoint. Have you seen them kind of improve throughout the quarter and into the early second quarter? And then second, just on the SG&A side, it was helpful to have the breakout of some of the more one-time items. It looked like of the increase in SG&A, if I'm doing my math right, about the $8 million increase sequentially, maybe about half of it was tied to the transactions that you mentioned. I guess just the other the other $4 million and higher level of SG&A. Was there any sort of timing or season, or is that just that's just like a better run rate now as we move into the second quarter? Thanks.
To answer the SG&A question first, $3 million of the increase were the bonus payments related to the distribution that we discussed. There was a $900,000 expenditure in total for NPG acquisition related costs. We had other expenses, move up and down as I described in my commentary, and none of them stand out as being particularly noteworthy.
I would note that in the first quarter, as I mentioned, we did have much more Project Imagine activity in the first quarter of 11 than in the first quarter of 10. For the mere reason of, we just got started in the fourth quarter of 09, so we were just really getting going, particularly as it relates to DTA deployment. So our pace of deployment in the first quarter of 11, over 120,000 DTAs, was much more significant than what we saw in the first quarter. So there are more labor costs around those deployments. I'd also mention that we had built up a door-to-door sales force, and that sales force was, much more mature and established in the first quarter of 11 versus where it stood in the first quarter of 10. So on a comparable cost basis, that would cause some of that increase as well. From a competitive standpoint, just to try to add to what I previously said, your question about whether, you felt like it was building through the we felt it was building through the quarter or not. What we have seen is they've thrown out a number of different offers, maybe to see which, if any, would stick or they would have success with. We compete with lots of people, as in all these markets: DirecTV, Dish, Frontier, in the case of DSL competition and phone competition in West Virginia in particular. And I can't say that I felt it any more or less in March than I felt it in January.
No, but we had a similar experience, if that's what Frontier said. Our January was somewhat weak.
Right.
And which is typical to given the November to January rate increases that are implemented, and then it was stronger growth for the rest of the quarter. So it was building.
Yes, that's not uncommon in a first quarter.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Sure.
Fair enough for the questions at this time.
All right, well, thanks, everyone, for your time and interest. We appreciate it, and have a great Cinco de Mayo day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.